With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're joined by Michael Lombardi, former NFL exec. He's with the Athletic now. And Michael is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Michael, how are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you guys?
We are good, Mike. You know, you've been a part of a lot of teams, and you've seen some remake themselves. You've seen some fail spectacularly. When you look at a team like the Seattle Seahawks, who have done so well over the last decade almost, feel like they're kind of splintering. What do you do with Russell Wilson right now?
Well, I don't think they're splintering. I think they're redefining themselves. I think what you're seeing is, look, Russell's a really good player. And, you know, and he certainly has been a part of their success. And a large part has been their defense. But, you know, it's the salary cap is not – you can't have everybody make all the money. And
yeah.
And I think that with the reality here is it's real simple. I think Seattle likes Russell. I think they would like to keep Russell. I'm not sure they want to enter into over $30 million a year for Russell, and I think there lies the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, they're always going to be a team built with defense. It's Pete Carroll's signature. They're going to run the ball. And let's face it, you know, there is times when Russell isn't as good as they need him to be because of his lack of height.
Yeah. Yeah, but here's the thing. He's the star. He's the icon. It's really hard to either trade him and start over with someone else. Or just I don't understand how you get this across to the fans and the public as the right move. You know what I mean? We like you and I know this because cheap labor wins, right? Especially at the quarterback position. But how do you convince a fan base that moving away from one of their icons is the right move?
Well, I think winning is the only thing that can convince them. I think winning is the only thing that can, and I think that's what you have to do. And you've got to convince them of the plan and convince them of exactly where you're going. And I think that's really ultimately what Seattle needs to do, is Seattle needs to figure out what they can do. And look, this is a negotiation. Seattle could be talking about trading them just so they could get them to come to the table and realize that, hey, look, Russell, you're really a good player, but you're going to need other players with you on the team.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I jotted a couple of things down, Mike, that I want to get back to that you said the first thing based on Tiki's first question. You said Russell's a really good player. I would submit that he's a great player, which I think changes the entire tone of the conversation. So at the expense of being overly literal, do you mean he's just a really good player, or do you believe that he's a great player?
Well, I think he's got incredible playmaking skills. I mean, when the play breaks down, this is when Russell's at his best.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when the play doesn't break down, I think there are limitations in terms of what he can do and where he can go, and I think you've got to be careful with that. I think the word great gets thrown around. I think Russell's helped by a strong running game. I think he helps a running game. I think his foot movement and his ability to make plays. But when you just line up and say, okay, here's Russell Wilson, I don't care what's around him, Aaron Rodgers type of team, that's not who I think you're talking about. And I think that doesn't mean in any negative respect towards Russell.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that, look, he's going to need some people and pieces around him. And frankly, when the offensive line isn't as good as it needs to be, it actually helps Russell because it breaks down and he makes plays, which are what his signatures are.
And he could freelance a little bit. All right, so we're talking to Michael Lombardi with us here, a writer for The Athletic, former NFL executive, been a part of multiple championship teams. And something else you said, Michael, is that, you know, Pete Carroll's signature is defense, no doubt about it. Wouldn't dispute that. The proof is in the pudding. But what I would submit is that just based on his age, Russell Wilson's going to be around Seattle a lot longer than Pete Carroll. So at what point do you stop submitting to solely what Pete Carroll wants and maybe think bigger picture beyond Pete Carroll?
Well, I think that they've already made a decision. They've extended Pete Carroll. I think Pete Carroll's a young man. I don't think he's an older, even though he might be older in age, I don't think he's an old coach. I think you have to study the DNA of Pete Carroll. You go back to when he got fired from the Patriots. He said to himself, he said, look, I'm going to go back. Whenever I get a job, I'm going to do exactly what I think is in the best interest of my team and how I act. He read the John Wood book. He decided when he went to USC, he became that person. And I think really what happened in Seattle a little bit is he's lost that identity. I think the salaries and the players, I think he wants to get back to that hungry,
grassroots team, kind of like when he first started with Seattle. I think that's what he's trying to do.
Yeah. Mike, you have a new podcast out, and I'm going to encourage everyone to go find it wherever you find podcasts, Apple Music, et cetera. The GM Shuffle, your first guest, is the great Peter King, who's amazing and has stories for days because he's been around the game for so long. But let's hopping back into the AFC, the Cleveland Browns, a team you know well, are the trendy pick to turn it around, I guess is the best way to put it. Are you buying what they've put together so far?
Well, look, I think that there's talented teams and there's teams, right? And there's good teams. I think there's talent on the Browns team. Do I think they're a good team? I think it remains to be seen. I think there's a lot of things that have to happen for the Browns to be good. I think a lot of things have to come together. And the chemistry in that locker room is going to be the most challenging of all. And I think they have certainly talented pieces. But when you're building a team, it's not the most talented team that wins. I mean, just ask Duke. Duke's going to have three guys drafted in the top 10 of the NBA draft.
You're right.
And they had a hard time beating Central Florida. So I think you got to be real careful. We're not trying to build – we're not collecting talent. We're building a team. I'm not sure that the Browns are that. I think their chemistry, their lack of willingness to take high-character players, they're willing to take risk on some character guys, I think it ultimately affects their team.
Yeah, what do you think the Odell Beckham Jr. effect is going to be as a former Giant, I'm asking?
Well, I think, look, when Odell says right before a game, he goes stay at the hotel, he wants to sleep in his own bed, we'll see how things go. You know, I think there's going to be challenges that he brings to the table and how that challenges ripple down, whether, you know, does it affect Jarvis Landry? Does it affect the other players? Does it affect Baker Mayfield? I mean, I think it's all coming together, and I think it's really challenging for a first-time head coach in Freddie Kitchens to be able to come in and be the offensive coordinator, but also be the guy in charge of building the team and getting cohesiveness. You know, Tiki, teams just don't come together because we all like to play, you know, we all like to go bowling on Tuesday afternoon. Teams come together through the coach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes leadership. This is a paramilitary organization that has to follow through, and I think you're going to have to see that come through.
All right, so we're talking to former league executive Michael Lombardi. He's got a new podcast out. It just dropped about a month or so ago, and it's called
a week ago,
the GM Shuffle. And put him out. A month ago, it would have been number one on iTunes. A week ago, it was only up to number seven. And he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. You know, reading the tea leaves, because we've tried to so many times try to parse and twist words and gather what Gruden really implies and what is going on. Is Derek Carr going to be on this team? What's the story there?
Oh, God. I think Gruden's the guy, the fat guy that goes to the grocery store and just starts throwing things in his cart, you know?
Oh, wow.
he loves everybody else's players. I mean, Tiki can ask Rondé. I mean,
Gruden
loves everybody else's players. When I was with him in Philadelphia, he hated every player that was at Green Bay. Hated every player in Philly. When I got with him in Oakland, he hated every player in Oakland, loved them all in Green Bay and Philly. And so, you know, he loves a new team every single year. And so he's never really developed a young quarterback. I mean, that's the reality. You can say Brad Johnson. Brad Johnson was an older player. Rich Gannon was an older player. John has no young developmental quarterback on his resume at all at any time in his career. And so I'm sure he's frustrated with Derek Carr's youth.
Yeah, but then let me ask you this. I'm sorry. But, Mike, let me ask you this. Then why this anointing of John Gruden as a quarterback whisperer, this master of the quarterback position, why has it permeated for so long and so deeply when, you're right, he has not developed a single young quarterback? Why does everybody?
I mean, you're asking me that question? The media has a narrative, and then there's the trend narrative. I mean, you know, that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't deal in the media's narrative. I deal in my narrative. You do what you see. You know, it's like, you know, this guy's going to be a great player, but he doesn't play good. But it's okay. We'll make excuses for him. You know, the reality of it is you are what you are. People in the league know that. People in the league realize that, you know, that John's never developed. There's not one quarterback that you could say John's taken as a young player and developed into. It's a fact.
Yeah.
It's
no, Michael, I think what you're saying, because you've been on both sides, like I've been on both sides, what John did via his show on ESPN was open the eyes not only to the fans, but interestingly to a lot of the media as well about what quarterbacks are looking at and what they should be doing and what they should be, you know, coaching 101 with quarterbacks. We all saw it. So all of a sudden, we're like, oh, this dude knows exactly what he's talking about.
It was brilliant on his part,
Of course it was brilliant from a media
perspective. I wrote in my book, Gridiron Genius, I described the four areas of leadership, and John's really good in two of the four. Now, he's not as good in the other two, and that affects him when it comes to dealing with players.
Yeah.
But you're so right, Tiki. It's what I call management of attention and management of meeting. He can explain it really well. He captivates you with his ability. But the John Gruden in that room loved every player. The John Gruden in the draft room hates every player. there's two John Grudens.
Yeah, no, you're right. He's a little bit bipolar.
But they're both getting 100 mil.
Yep, exactly. Look, the new podcast is called The GM Shuffle. You had Peter King, April 10th was the first one. You can find it at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all the good stuff. You also did a draft breakdown on your podcast. Are you in the camp that Kyler Murray's going one to Arizona? And if not, who is number one? And what happens with the situation with the Cardinals?
If I were the Cardinals, I think it's going to be problematic at some point. You can ask Seattle, what it's like to have a 5'10 quarterback. You can say, it's no big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. 3rd and 8, when you've got to make a throw from the pocket and the rush is contained, just go back and watch the Patriots rush against Phillip Rivers, against Patrick Mahomes, and against Jared Goff. Watch those three games and watch how they rush the quarterback. And then you put the young 5'9", 5'10 quarterback in those situations and tell me how it's going to work out. And tell me what he can see on 3rd and 8 when he has to make a throw. Brett Favre eloquently said it so many years ago. He said there's three kind of quarterbacks. One, he can throw the ball through the door. The second one can hit the doorknob. And the third one can throw it through the keyhole. Well, to throw it through the keyhole, you got to be able to see it. And if you've ever talked to any player in Oklahoma, whether it's been Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray, they've heard in the line, "Hey man, I didn't see it. Hey man, I didn't see it." That's a problem. And so if they go down this direction and they want to draft Kyler Murray, they're going to have to build the way to where people that rush him. Because if you're going to win a title, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, you're going to have to make a 3rd and 8 throw at a pressure point on the road in a tough game, and you got to throw it through the keyhole and you got to see it. I don't know if that can happen.
Well, Michael, to pass on Murray, you have to really like Josh Rosen. I mean, independent of what they think about Rosen, what do you think about Rosen?
Well, look, the guy has 14 interceptions, 11 touchdowns. It's one of the worst offenses in football last year. The offensive line was horrible.
Yeah.
But if I had a Josh Rosen fan coming out of the draft, no, I wasn't sure you could build a team around his leadership style and skills. Does he have the physical talent to be a player? Yeah, I think he did. But I'm not sure that the combination of when his mama listened from the crib, is he really a quarterback in terms of the leadership? Because, look, when you have a quarterback, that's got to be the face of your franchise. That's the guy. That's who we're building the team around. He's got to be the guy that generates the enthusiasm within the player locker room. He's got to be the guy. If you have a guy that can't lead from that position, it's tough to find leadership on your team.
Hey, good stuff.
Yeah.
Really good Tiki and Tierney debut. I think we're going to have to get Michael Lombardi back on the show at some point. Outstanding stuff right there.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.